Hello, my name is Dr. Latasha Schrader. I am a student advocate, school administrator, editor, and owner of Temple Editing. I am pleased to welcome our guest, Dr. Rashida Willer, to the podcast. Dr. Rashida Willer is the founder of Collective Work Consulting, LLC. Throughout her career, she has been able to develop and oversee initiatives that help promote diversity, equity, and inclusion. She holds a doctorate in education with an emphasis on leadership, inquiry, and continuous improvement, a master's in business administration, a bachelor's in business administration, and an associate in organizational dynamics. As a social justice practitioner, Dr. Willer consistently brings the strategic equity framework to her management and leadership style, as well as her daily interactions. She has founded and led programs for new employees of color, developed strategies to retain qualified employees, and worked to create an effective networking channel strategically aligned to the organization's diversity and inclusion goals. These efforts include equity consultation and coaching with all levels of the organization, events, training, awareness, and communication around social justice. Dr. Willard is committed to creating culturally engaging spaces and advocating for systematically excluded and institutionally oppressed employees and students, as well as encouraging development for all people across the learning continuum through authenticity, accountability, and action. Let's get started. Dr. Willard, which methodology did you use for your dissertation?
I started my journey 4 years ago. I decided to use a qualitative case study, and I ended up interviewing faculty members from community colleges. And I don't know if you want to know, but I also, my dissertation centered on how faculty members create culturally engaging campus environments for students of color who attend predominantly white institutions.
That is a very interesting topic. Just coincidentally, my son just went on a college visit. He's a senior in high school. To a junior college that's predominantly white. So I'm hopeful that they'll have some things, you know, for students of color. So we'll.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think it took me on a, it didn't just take me on a journey to find out, you know, what I was actually looking for, what strategies our faculty members using, but it also helped me in the work that I do now to kind of tell faculty members, here's some things that other faculty members at different institutions are using. And so it's kind of helped to help them figure out what strategies, you know, they might be able to use.
And that's a very, very timely topic. So for sure. So which writing resources do you recommend for those currently writing their dissertation?
So a lot of people might answer this question in a way where they're giving you, you know, books or different things that they might have used. The way that I think about it is the thing that helped me was a writing matrix or a literature matrix.
Oh, okay.
So making sure that every article that I read, I logged, and I would log it in Zotero, but I also used an Excel spreadsheet where I would, you know, log the methodology, put an excerpt of the abstract, kind of give a summary of what findings came of the articles, and whether it was quantitative or qualitative, those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, at the end, when I got to the writing part, it really helped to kind of sort through and look at, okay, here are all of the qualitative, here's all the quantitative, here's the ones that pertain to sense of belonging, here's ones that pertain to, other things. So it really helped. I think that was my biggest resource that I would recommend everybody do. One of the other things that I did to organize was to, I printed off a lot of my articles and put them in binders, and that really helped. So I had one full binder on, you know, sense of belonging, one on sense of community, one on, you know, and so I had like six different binders, and it really helped me kind of go back as I was look at it as I started writing, it helped me kind of go back and look at the things that I actually read. So I would definitely say Zotero is a huge resource to help organize. But for me, it was just that Matrix was really great.
Yeah, that's a good one. I know several institutions use Zotero, and I know several institutions use RefWorks, and there's probably some other ones I'm not familiar with, but please check into your university, and more than likely they provide some sort of free system as described here. So that's a really good resource. I wish I had been more thorough and accurate in my logging. I did do some, but in hindsight, definitely do that. I mean, it is well worth, it kind of seems tedious when you're entering, you know, some of that information into the database, but it's well worth the time.
Right.
Do you have any time management strategies to share?
Yeah, for me, I had to set aside time. You have to be really intentional about reading and really intentional about your writing time. So before I got into the writing, I set aside time every Saturday. It did not matter. I went to a coffee shop in my neighborhood, and I spent, they knew me for years. Yes. I would go there and I would set aside time and sit there, and I gave myself at least 2 hours, at the very least 2 hours, but some days I was there all day, reading, and when it got to the writing part, writing. But I would say the strategy that I had was to stay away from my home, because when I was at home, suddenly laundry needed to be done.
Right.
You know, dishes needed to be done. Right. I needed to mop, things like that. And so going away from my home was much better, and setting a timer. And so yes. I would go and I would say, I'm going to give myself 2 hours, and I would set the timer for 2 hours. I could not leave until I was, you know, done, until the 2 hours was up. But most of the time I'd end up being there for longer. Mm-hmm. So I would say give the biggest strategy I have is go away from your home where you have distractions. I also plugged my phone up at the coffee shop on the other side of where I was sitting, because also suddenly I'd need to, you know, go to Twitter or right. whatever,
right.
look at things. And so, yeah, for me, it was just, you need to at least set aside time on your Saturday and Sunday to do that. And that's what I would do.
Absolutely. My neighborhood Panera and Starbucks were my spots. Uh-huh. And if I stayed home, I'm normally not a procrastinator, but when it came to writing time, I could be the queen of procrastination. Like, it was always yeah. like, what can I do to not write? So yes, you are right on point with that.
I would also say another strategy that I used so I went to school at night. So I actually physically went to school on Wednesday nights, and I would leave work early. So school would start at 5:30. I would leave work at 3:30 and spend the 2 hours before school doing my work as well. That really helped.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another thing I did too. Like, I would find times to write, just random times. Like, if I was waiting for a doctor's appointment, I might jot some down if I didn't have my laptop. Or if my husband was driving and we were on like a 2-hour drive, I would use that time to write, just trying to be creative about, you know, times I could write, because it does get tedious. And every time I started writing, I would think of something else I wanted to include or wanted to consider. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, the mm-hmm. time.
Yeah. And then the other part was meeting with other people. I remember, you know, studying with friends. My sister and I both went through our doctorate together. Oh, wow. One time in school. So the two of us having each other was really helpful.
Was that planned?
Yeah, we started together, we ended together, and we're our graduation is not until next month, and we're walking across the stage together.
Oh,
so
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Good for you. I'm sure that helped quite a bit to have someone that close to yeah. you going through the same process.
For sure.
Wow, that's cool. Okay. What did you do to overcome writer's block?
Oh, that is such a hard one because it happens. Mm-hmm. It is a real thing. Yes. It really happened. For me, it's accountability. So it was nice to have, I'm an extrovert. So I like, you know, accountability is fine with me. I love having folks around. So I would just have, you know, family, I'm starting my writing. Mm-hmm. I need somebody to tell me. My daughter one time changed my Facebook password, things like that. Yeah. But that helped a little bit. Mm-hmm. Was like, okay, focus, Rashida. You can't be doing all this other stuff. So right. To help me focus, I would always try to ask other folks if they could help hold me accountable. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it was impossible and it just took a little bit of rest walking away from it. Yep. My sister always said her strategy was, I'm not going to sit here in front of the computer and just sit here in front of the computer. Right. She was like, if it's not coming to me, I'm closing my computer and I'm walking away. Definitely. And that was her strategy and that was really good. And so I feel like I at the end started, you know, okay, it's not coming to me. Let me walk away for a little bit and then come back to it. Mm-hmm. It'll come to you. Yeah, but that was kind of the thing.
Yeah, sometimes for me, I guess, you know, you would call it walking away. Like when I wasn't like intentionally thinking about it, something would come to me. But like if I sat right. there and tried to think about it, it wouldn't. It doesn't make sense. But it's almost like your subconscious is working in the background, you know, while you're not actively thinking about it.
Somebody told me to always keep a pad and a piece of paper, or a pad and a pencil or pen, something to write with in your bag. And I would do that too, because it would come to you at the weirdest times.
It does, yes, it does. Mm-hmm. So that is a thing. So how would you describe your dissertation journey in one word and why?
I would say it was challenging.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm sure a lot of folks, right? I have a family. Mm-hmm. My kids are, you know, in going through school. They're in college, you know, all these things. I had a family. I have a family and I have responsibilities. I have a full-time job. All of those things was really hard. And, you know, I would always just tell myself all the time, I'd be like, I wonder if this is not the right time to do this, or maybe I should not do this. Yeah. Like, it just doesn't seem like maybe this is not the right time because life happens. Mm-hmm. And somebody, I said that out loud one time and someone told me there is never a good time to do your dissertation. Like, it's never going to be a good time.
Yes.
Life is always going to happen. And so just do it. You can be talking about it next year at the same time, or you could be done, you know? So I was like,
that
okay.
is so true. Part of our program, like the very first class, I don't remember the exact title, but it was pretty much like dissertation 101. And they're mm-hmm. like, when through your process, don't make it harder than it has to be. Don't change jobs. Don't move. Don't have mm-hmm. any new children. None of I did almost everything they said not to do. I moved. I changed jobs. It's like, I wanted to make it harder for myself. But if you set your mind to it, mm-hmm. you can get it done. So, yeah,
absolutely. My sister had a baby in the middle of our program, and then her and her husband accidentally got pregnant again.
Oh my gosh.
At the end, and you know, she, I think we defended like a week before she gave birth.
Oh my goodness.
So yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Never a good time.
I can't even imagine. That's crazy. But good for her. So, I love books, so I have to ask, what are you reading right now, if anything, or are you taking a break? Because a lot of people are just like, you know what, I can't read one more thing right now. I'm just going to not do anything for a little bit.
Listen, I love reading, and I was so excited when I was done. I was like, I'm going to read everything. Mm-hmm. And for some weird reason, I cannot pick up a book. And so what I've been doing is I actually got Audible because I've been really sad because I love reading. Mm-hmm. But I got Audible. And so just listening to mm-hmm. nothing academic at all, everything fun and all things great. I just like want to catch up on things that I just haven't read. So I I was listening to The Vanishing Half by Britt Bennett. That is so good. I listened to that. I listened to Black Girls Must Die Exhausted. I loved that book too.
What is that about? Sounds good.
It's really, really good.
Okay.
And that's by Jane Allen.
Okay.
And then The Wedding Date by Jasmine Guillory.
Okay, I'm going to put these all on my list. I have listened to audiobooks my entire dissertation journey because I've always had some sort of a commute to work. So that's how I pass the time. I don't know that I've actually read an actual physical book. And I couldn't tell you how long, because I think I'm just been kind of spoiled and with the audiobook. But yeah, I do love a good book. So I'm going to put those on my list for sure. Is there anything else you would like to share about your experience with academic writing?
So, you know, I think I'm just going to go back to the part that I said before around it not being, there's never a great time.
Right.
And don't let imposter syndrome get in the way of, you know, you not believing that you can do this, because that's a real thing too. I never knew anyone that had a doctorate, in my family, at least not in my family or like in my friends group or anything. Cause I just didn't know anyone that did. And so even doing this with me and my sister, it was a huge win for my entire family. And so I just always am like, you know, as much as I can give back to someone else, I will. And also just trying to silence the voice that tells you that you can't do it, or that your writing is not good enough, or, you know, any of those things. That's what I like to do, is kind of just let people know that you absolutely can do this. And, you know, even, you know, when I would get discouraged with my faculty chair, sometimes would be like, you know, you need to step up your writing. This needs to be academic writing. You know, there's so many times where I'd be like, I can't do this. Absolutely. Who am I kidding? But just silencing that voice, because you can do it. And I did do it. And you know, it paid off.
We somewhat have similar experiences. I wasn't the first person to go to college in my immediate family, but I was the first to finish. So even getting a bachelor's degree was like, you know, a really good experience, but continuing to push myself. And I mean, but I think I've always enjoyed academia, so I guess I shouldn't be surprised that I continue to pursue degrees. But yes, definitely times when you question, you know, your ability to finish, especially when your chair or your committee is, you know, questioning and having you go back and rewrite. It is definitely a lesson in perseverance and patience, for sure.
So that's, I kind of, like I said, started my associate's degree at 31 years old.
Oh, wow.
And have gone all the way through. So associate, you know, that bachelor, master's, you know, all the way through. And I felt, you know, older all the time in every space I was in.
But
you know, you can do it.
Yeah, I mean, I've had that. Yeah, I got my associate's degree right away, right out of high school, and then I did not get my bachelor's until the age of 30, and then I got my master's at the age of 33, and then doctorate at 43. So I did not take the typical. So many people right now, it seems like, are just going, you know, from 19 to 30, they're doing all, you know, all four. And I'm just like, I think me being a little bit more mature helped me to appreciate the experience.
Absolutely.
I'm glad I did it the way that I did it.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a son who is doing his MBA right now. And I'm like, you know, he's young, he's 24. And I'm just like, wow, I never even had the thought to.
Right.
You know, do this when I was his age.
You play a mentor role in that, because my daughter's doing the same thing. She is graduating with her bachelor's in May and then going straight into her graduate work in the fall. And I think that would have happened had she not seen me, you know, go through the process. So Yes.
Yep, absolutely.
Definitely a legacy. Mm-hmm. So, Dr. Willard, thank you for taking the time to speak with me today and being so open to sharing your dissertation journey.
Absolutely.
Listeners, I'd like to thank you for taking the time to listen. We all know time is priceless. Information about my editing services can be found at tempoediting.com. That's T-E-M-P-O editing.com. Last, if you've enjoyed this podcast, please follow and share it with a fellow scholar.